We're going to be joined on the show by guest of the evening, a great young actor slash producer slash writer. We got Ted Monty on the phone. Ted, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Hey, Timothy, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Yeah, really good, really good. Now, I just want to ask you, we lost a real legend this week. We lost Burt Reynolds. So as an actor, writer, producer, I just got to ask you, do you have a personal favorite among the Burt Reynolds oeuvre that you've been reflecting on since we lost the Burt?
Oh, God, there's so many. I was a huge Burt Reynolds fan. I mean, I have to, The Longest Yard, I thought was absolutely amazing. And I think it was one of the first R-rated movies that I saw. So it was like really risque to see The Longest Yard. And it was about football. And it was amazing. I loved it. And of course, the Smokey and the Bandit movies and Boogie Nights. I mean,
just one after another. And not afraid to play a character. He had a character like John Wayne. He showed up, he played his character.
And he showed up very recently in Archer playing himself.
Absolutely.
Which was hysterical and great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He was absolutely awesome. And I remember when he married Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like in love with Lonnie Anderson when she was on WKRP. And I'm like, oh, my God, Burt Reynolds gets Lonnie Anderson.
As like an 11-year-old, Lonnie Anderson was like the hottest woman you knew. Like you came into regular contact with watching God, he lands Lonnie Anderson. But oh, my, did that go badly. That relationship ended up horrible. Horrifically, horrifically. You know,
true Hollywood style.
You know what we said, Burt Reynolds, in his last few years. You know who he says his true love of his life was? Sally Fields.
Sally Fields. who was another little hottie.
Oh, yeah.
They like me. They really like me.
You see
he
young
her
Sally
up on the
Fields.
Side of the road in a wedding dress.
Hey.
And they took it from there.
And you know they went on and they ripped that off. They ripped that off in Friends. In Friends, she appears. Yeah, she shows up in the very first episode in her wedding dress. I re-saw the first episode a couple of weeks ago. Now I got to ask you, Ted, your own journey into this business called show. How did you start in the acting? How did you start getting involved in films? What was the light turning on for you that made you think that you wanted to be in this area?
Oh, God. Well, when I first started as a kid, I wanted to be Underdog.
Don't get me started. Master Cylinder. Oh, no. My God. Master Cylinder.
Simon Barr Sinistar.
I know, no. But as I got older, I realized like, you can't be a cartoon.
You can. You can try.
I know.
Well, voiceover. It's the easiest work in acting.
Yeah, I know. And so I gave up acting, you know, until I was about 16. Of course, you know, I wanted to be Underdog when I was three. And I was dating this girl that was a model at the time, and she was telling me, you know, you should get into it. I'm like, I don't know. So then I went to go see her agency, and then her agency took me, and then I ended up starting to do a lot of commercials, and then I ended up starting to do a lot of modeling, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to study acting.
Hey.
And so I went to New York, and my very first movie that I was ever in was Silence of the Lambs.
Hey, you know, so wow, that was a good one.
You know, yeah, I had a tiny little part, but it was, you know, I got to work with Jonathan Demme and Jodie Foster, and it was just, you know, the bug just bit me from there. And then the second movie I did was with David Mamet, and it was just, again, small parts when I was first starting.
Yeah.
It was like I really got to work with some amazing people. So, how could you not stay in it?
Boy, which David Mamet? The Spanish Prisoner?
No. It's called Homicide with Joe Mantegna and Bill Macy before he was Bill Macy. I got to tell you this story because this is when I was doing this movie. This was before Bill Macy got Fargo, so he wasn't working. And I remember being on the set, and I had become friends with Bill on the set. And you know, I was talking about acting and stuff, and he was telling me about you know what a tough career he'd been having. He's like, you know, and he was thinking of giving up acting. He said that you know I can't get a job. I just can't get a job. The only person that hires me is David. And David only hires me for these little roles. And this is the first big role that Bill was doing. He goes, and I'm going to start writing. And he had just written the script for 30-something. And he was saying, you know, well, I just can't be an actor anymore. So I think they're going to buy this script. And if they do buy it, I'm going to quit acting. And then the very, like, I think it was like a month later, he gets Fargo. And then the whole thing just changes.
Well, imagine, you had him at his Trader Joe's moment. You had him
at the moment where he was about to get the name tag, the t-shirt, and he was going to get, he was almost there.
Now I've got to cut in on your behalf, Tim, in defense of 70s television. We're talking about William H. Macy.
Yes.
Bill Macy was Maude's husband.
That's true.
This is William H.
H. Macy. I know. Now, I've got to ask you, Ted, you've worked with a lot of people, you've been doing some great stuff. You're on the stage now. Can you tell us what you're working on now?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. Theater is my absolute first love, and I'm doing something called Infidel at the White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California, on Ventura Boulevard. We play Saturdays and Sundays. We play Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for a matinee, and we're going through October 7th, and it's a really fantastic play. It's very timely. Basically, I play an anthropologist who is collecting artifacts for the museum and for the university that I work for, and I get kidnapped by terrorists.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling kind of an Indiana Jones thing for a second, uh-huh. And then you say kidnapped by terrorists, and now it becomes so 9/11. It's like, wow.
Well, I kept suggesting Indiana Jones or CIA or something, but, you know, Christopher, the writer-director, is like, yeah, I know. So what it is, it's really like an exchange of ideas. You know, you go in thinking it's going to be one thing, and through the course of the story, you end up with this American view and American religion versus a Islamic and Muslim kind of look at things. And it's how the two worlds, you know, misunderstand each other and how they can understand each other. So it's an amazing journey, and I absolutely love doing the part.
It sounds like a great play. Can you give our audience a little bit, websites, dates, times? What do they need to know in order to get tickets? What do they need to know to connect?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, the play, again, is called Infidel. All the information you can find at plays411.com/infidel. Or if you just go to plays411.com and then do a search for Infidel, you'll be able to find us.
Oh, I like it. One word title, Infidel. That's easy.
Yeah.
I know.
Not the Infidel, just Infidel.
How can I not like that? I'm the Infidel. Yeah. I'm like, it's my play.
It's about you. I want to thank you so much, Ted Monty. This sounds like a great play. I want to encourage friends and neighbors, all of you, to look it up, give it a chance. It sounds like it's going to be a great, great play. Thank you so much, Ted, for being part of The Bigger Picture.
Great, Timothy. Thank you so very much. I greatly appreciate it.